4, 3, 2, 1. All right. It is Monday afternoon here in Seattle. It's 1 o'clock. Welcome to David Foster Wallace and Gromit, the Halloween Spooktacular. This will either air tonight or tomorrow. And we're doing this on account of the failure that happened yesterday with the choppy audio. I know, Steve, you showed me you highlighted a really good clip earlier. That's
that was good.
Yeah, there was a clip from yesterday where we were talking about Mr. Bean, and then from Mr. Bean kind of moved on into I don't know, I guess like what I thought to be like a waning level of interest in challenging media. What I was calling challenging media, yeah. We were talking about the Criterion Collection a little bit. And there was a point where I was saying, like, you know, at the point when Steve and I started hanging out, started sketching together, and the point at which I started dating my girlfriend, and, you know, on, and then chopped together, all you really get is through, like, a 5-second soundbite, it just goes like, you know, I feel like I was had more challenging media, you know, like, and then, like, pause, like, when you and I started dating, it's like, hold on a second, that's not, that's not.
No, it was not quite. It was when you were still in the area, and we were able to get together and hang out. This is what you said. You said, when you were in the area and we were able to hang out, get together, there was a little more there. And then when I started hanging out more with Ashley, when we started dating, then blah, blah, blah. And it cut out everything in between. It's just like, yeah, when you and I started hanging out, you know, I felt like it was a lot better. I got to know more. When we started dating.
Yep. So that's now canon. This is David Foster Wallace and Gromit. It's a couples podcast about literature. But no, this is our Halloween Spooktacular. For our Halloween Spectacular, we went ahead and read a little short story, a little Edgar Allan Poe that our listeners might be familiar with. Edgar Allan Poe, little known writer, little known author, sort of fringe.
He did this in his writing a lot. Very often he would do this.
Yeah, not quite your J.K. Rowling, not quite your Tolkien.
J.K. Rowling and Stephen King.
No, Stephanie Meyer. Myers? Who wrote Twilight?
Yeah.
Stephanie Meyer? Yeah.
Steph Myers.
All.
But yeah, J.K. Rowling, Stephen King are the same category. Steph Myers is in the same category as the lady that did 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, that'll do it.
From what I know,
yeah.
Well, to be fair, I've never read any of these actually, and maybe I should be a little. I'm not sure if I should be pleased, maybe pleased, but I should also be maybe disappointed in myself. I've never read any of the Harry Potters. I've never read a single Stephen King book. How on earth?
I mean, I don't know. It's not something to be pleased about. It's not something to feel ashamed of. Either way, it's just they're not for everyone. I feel no strong connection to the Harry Potter books. I feel no strong connection to Stephen King whatsoever.
No.
We will be reading.
No, not at all.
For our listeners in home, we're going to be reading 50 Shades of Grey next week, and giving you our.
You haven't read a Harry Potter or Stephen King, have you either?
I read the first Harry Potter, and I listened to the second and third. Well, I was like seven, and listened to the second and third on audiobook, and then I think started the fourth. And I remember at the time even thinking like, I don't really care, because I think the movies were coming out like almost side by side with my reading them, and then I just like the movies weren't great, and I didn't feel any connection to them, and I stopped reading the books, and then I ended up seeing all the movies, just because like you know I wanted to be part of the cultural zeitgeist, but yeah, by the last one, I remember feeling so overwhelmed by my disgust and my annoyance with them for having split one book into two movies. That I was just in the theater going like, oh, that's not real. Oh, that's dumb. Oh, that's oh, that's how they're gonna write it. Oh, that's the plot. And just general annoyance. And yeah, Stephen King. I don't think I've read any Stephen King. I've seen what I imagine to be almost all the film adaptations. And you know, I think those are the kind of books where in film they adapt pretty well. But the books themselves are so, I don't know, I guess I'd say like indulgent in all the wrong ways.
Right.
And from what I have read of, you know, bits and pieces, and from what I've heard of the differences between the books and the film, indulging in ways that, like, are not going to interest me. It just kind of, like, gross me out. Don't want anything to do with it. Also, I have a real grievance with, like, Stephen King, because people look at the horror literature genre and act like, oh, like, I was reading this late at night and I was terrified. The only book I've ever been, and, you know, I've read a lot of Lovecraft, a lot of Clive Barker, that kind of stuff. The only book I've ever been scared reading was American Psycho. That was the only time I ever felt, like, grossed out or upset by something I was reading, and that was with fucking merit, because, you know, Brady Snellis, but,
right.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know, all the Clive Barker stuff I've read, you know, a couple of volumes sitting around here, yeah, I've never like put a book down and gone like, oh man, I can't go to sleep. Maybe Goosebumps. Goosebumps, that's a spooky one. I tell you what. I love a good spook.
RL, yeah, that's a good one.
RL Stein.
Couple of the Scooby Doo novel adaptations. Those will get you.
Yeah, Scooby Doo Ghoul School. For those of you listening at home, this is a Red Shirt Shaggy fan cast. Red Shirt Shaggy, not the canon Shaggy.
Red Shirt Shaggy is not canon.
Red Shirt Shaggy, Scrappy Doo.
Not canon. Actually, Scrappy, I think, is canon technically.
Yeah.
From like one episode.
Real. Oh my god, I saw
Scooby Dumb. Scooby Dumb is also. And Daisy.
Oh, wow. The
cousins.
Yeah, that's going deep.
Daisy Doo, Scooby Dumb. I think they were in one of. And Scrappy too. I think they were in one of the. Technically canon Scooby Doo's, and then they got all kinds of garbage spin-offs, and it makes me sick.
Yeah, they spit those boys right out. I tell you what, that's a Hanna-Barbera mistake. I tell you.
Yeah, those are really good Halloween material because I get scared.
I was going to mention a lot of people, you in particular, will be upset by this opinion, but I think one of the best. So okay, in the original. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Right? In the original series. Chock full of hits. Nothing but hits. Nothing but classics. Got that deep sea diver ghoul. We got the guy with the like space ghost helmet. Good stuff. Yep. But one of the best pieces of Scooby-Doo media, far and beyond, is Zombie Island.
No. God.
Yep.
Not the worst.
No. It's the worst. Best. It's the best.
No, it's the least best.
No, least best is the film adaptation with Matthew Lillard. Are you fucking kidding me? with a CGI Scooby-Doo and sitting in the back
live
of
action,
their fucking CGI Ouija van. Scooby-Doo. Yeah, no, it was terrible. It was horrifying. And also,
they should have done. What's the movie where the animals weren't CGI except for their mouths? It's like they're talking animals, but they CGI'd the mouths moving, and they used real trained animals for the rest of it. I swear that happened on a movie.
Oh, that's happened in like a... You're thinking of Air Bud. That's happened in a million movies.
I might be. I don't think I'm thinking of Air Bud.
No, there's Air Bud, there's Air Buddies, there's like Air Bud 2 through 10, there's like Space Buddies. You're right,
I might be thinking of Air Bud with the basketball. What's the original? Football?
No, I think that's it. Air Bud is a basketball dog. Is it? Hey, let us know in the comments, what do you think of the Air Bud franchise?
Let us know, because it's killing us. What's the original Air Bud? What sport was it?
I think basketball. Air Bud. Air Jordan. Air Bud. It's not an airplane. It's not a dog that flies. That's an intellectual property that I'd love to get some stake in. I'd love to sit in on the boardroom meeting where it's like, all right, guys, each year we're cranking out a new Air Bud movie. What's it going to be this time?
Chess.
Air Bud, the Bobby Fischer story.
Bobby Fischer story.
Yeah, Chess Buddies, the Bobby Fischer story, and it's a real golden retriever with a CGI mouth that's just like a racist, a hard drinker,
anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
at one point, the dog looks into the camera, and his CGI mouth is going up and down, saying, "The Jews are ruining this country."
There's that Twilight Zone episode, or it was in the Twilight Zone movie in the 80s. There's a story, a vignette where he. It's a guy in like the 70s or the 80s who's a racist, and he's like saying the N-word, and he's calling, saying, you know, kike and stuff like that. And he, is Sven home?
No.
Oh, whew. I thought I heard a door open.
No, that was my slippers.
Ah, okay. I was getting excited for a second. I was hoping to see that boy's face. No, but you know, he's saying all these slurs, bigoted. and then he leaves the bar and enters 1940s Germany as a Jew, and then like ends up in like Vietnam as a Vietnamese like bystander, and like, you know, goes through all these things of which he was, you know, that moral story. I want to see an Air Bud like that, where you have the CGI. It's basically like Air Bud, Richard Spencer, Air Bud, Ty Cobb, and they're saying all these slurs, and then they get spat into Jim Crow America.
At the beginning, it says Air Bud, starring Air Bud as Ty Cobb, and it's Air Bud in a little baseball cap. The dog, the golden retriever, or whatever kind of dog he is.
He's got a
and he's got a little baseball cap on, and he's chewing some bubble gum, and it says Air Bud as Ty Cobb,
and it's a moral story, like a five people you meet in heaven, as Ty Cobb goes through all these different race relation periods and learns to not. It's American History X, but with Air Bud. It's Air Bud History X.
It's Air Bud History X as Ty Cobb,
starring whatever the golden retriever, fucking, you know, Bubbles the golden retriever as Ty Cobb. Air Bud's like, this is. You know, we've lost the plot.
The final scene is Air Bud, the golden retriever, playing Ty Cobb with his baseball cap. He looks at the camera and he goes, "Yeah, we're gonna have to cut."
Yeah, we have to cut.
And then they roll credits.
It's just an airplane, or it's the end of the Holy Mountain. But instead of Jodorowsky and his people going like, "It's a film and there are cameras," it's just Air Bud with his. It's not a CGI mouth. It's a real human mouth on a golden retriever. Some fucking grotesque Island of Dr. Moreau creation, looks at the camera and goes, "Yeah, I don't know about this one, guys." And it cuts in and just fades to black. Okay, we're rolling. And we're back. The Kevin Spacey thing, for those of you who don't know, Kevin Spacey recently came out as gay, which is something that I thought everyone knew. What's unfortunate, though, is that Kevin Spacey, and I read this, I'm not trying to steal a joke, I read this tweet the other day, but Kevin Spacey, basically created like the worst time to ever come out as gay, because amidst like the Harvey Weinstein thing and all these people being faced with sexual harassment charges, and you know, with good reason, you know, these are people who deserve to be outed for these like the cyclical abuse, but you got Kevin Spacey, who's being sued by someone that he allegedly sexually harassed or raped or assaulted, and it's like, "Oh, and by the way, I'm gay." It's like, man, wrong time to do that.
No, it wasn't just somebody. It was at the time a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah, it was a 14-year-old boy. Yeah. So it's like, Kevin, my guy, we all knew you were gay. You didn't need to say, because didn't that happen to John Travolta not too long ago? He had like a trial, or still might have a case pending against him by someone that he was like significantly younger. Yeah, and it's like, and he never said anything, because it's like, don't. We all know. If you have that case, we all know. And we've known for a long time.
It's also a part of this really bad condition of celebrity glorification. I mean, you know what I mean? Actors aren't just characters in a movie.
Yeah.
They can't just be characters in a movie. We have to, like, the whole talk show culture is so toxic.
Yeah.
It's incredible to me that's something that's still
alive.
That's still so popular. Like, you watch clips on YouTube, and even still, like, political talk shows, too. It's like Stephen Colbert. It's all just so vapid and garbage.
Well, people, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And it's like, but like, and then nothing came. Or like, okay, here's the thing. Love Woody Allen films. That's not standing up for what he did. Fucking Marlon Brando really, really raped a woman in Last Tango in Paris. Hollywood is full of bad fucking guys, and it's sad that people come to their... Okay, or more recently, Chris Brown. I guess more recently, I don't know. But Chris Brown with the whole Rihanna thing, where it's like, people still pay to go see him in concert. It's like, don't give him any more money. This is not an alleged thing. Like, this was so cut and dry. And everyone's just kind of like, "Oh, no, but you know, I still... I love a villain, though. Love C. Breezy." It's like, don't... No. No, no, no. Don't love C. Breezy. He's a piece of shit. Beats a woman. Gets a tattoo of a battered woman's face on his neck. He's an asshole. You know? And the Woody Allen thing, he's not a pedophile, but he's a fucking creep. And Roman Polanski was a pedophile, so fuck Roman Polanski.
Roman Polanski.
Political refugee.
That one's disappointing mainly because of the pianist.
Yeah.
Because I really
and Rosemary's
like that movie as a biopic. You know, mainly, you know, not just because of the whole, you know, Jew and Nazi Germany thing, but also to highlight specifically a musician and that story. I've always liked Chopin specifically, and so a musician who was very famous for playing Chopin, and this whole musician story of what it's like to actually be, you know, completely removed from any livelihood you could have had was and all in all, it was really well done. And then you know, he legitimately does the things, and then he flees. He's still alive. He just fled and took asylum somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's sick. It's sickening. And then it just becomes another, like, okay, well, it's another, you know, it's a pedophile old Jewish guy trying to be all, oh, woe is me, and then ends up being a pedophile, and then it's like, well, that...
Yeah, no, it's a... The Jewish community is taking some hits with these Hollywood people coming out as abusers, because I don't know, between that and Netflix just put out that documentary about the Hasidim, like, man, the Jewish community doesn't need these hits.
And that's the thing with people like Polanski and Weinstein, is like these incredibly powerful, influential people.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you gotta imagine these are bad guys, and obviously deeds are evenly distributed, but man, it just looks so bad. It's a shame.
I will say, and I've said this before, and I've come
but Hollywood has always been garbage.
No,
I don't know
always been
why people with Weinstein were trying to defend Hollywood and make it like no, it's not Hollywood. And it's like, I'm sorry, talk show hosts that depend on Hollywood completely for everything.
No, the people that defended it are the ones where...
Really?
And, you know, we can all see this happening. The people that defended it, I imagine, are of the train of thought where it's like... but no, the thing is, a lot of Hollywood, I imagine, and I'm sure there's truth to this, is like, oh, I'm not... being raped, I'm not being coerced into something, but I know that if I want this role, I gotta suck a dick, or I gotta fuck whoever. And I feel like that's how it is. So the people who came to his defense are the ones who, to get their career pushed further, had to suck a dick, or had to fuck someone. And it is because of that, well, they were like, oh, but it's not his fault, it's Hollywood. It's like, yeah, no, it is Hollywood, and it's his fault, because he's a big fucking player in Hollywood, and it's all a big caustic cycle of sleazy sex offender people.
And it's not just him.
No. Also, fucking, yeah, no, whatever.
That's how the entire system is set up like that.
Yeah.
That's what was the worst thing about True Detective, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is it's like, all of these bureaucratic systems are set up like this. Like, Anthony Weiner, he got, how long did he get? 2 years?
Yeah.
Something absolutely low for what he, for his track record.
Yeah.
It's just like 2 years or something, 21 months.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, also, didn't he bounce, maybe this is joking? Maybe this isn't true, but didn't he bounce around? Didn't, like, the whole scandal happened and he just was, like, still in power? He was, like, or still in office? And then it's kind of just,
he
like...
He bounced around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And recently it was like, these are people that he knew. These were like 13-year-old girls that he had family connections to.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
telling you right now, he's taking a fall because of such a low sentence.
You think so?
How much you want to bet? He's taking a fall to hide other people. That's why he's getting a low sentence. Something's going on in all of these, like, bureaucratic systems, right? True Detective, you know, and I don't want to sound like a crazy person, that's just like, oh, it was in True Detective, so it must be everywhere. Mm-hmm. No, this was all before, right, True Detective came out. Like, there were things we knew about the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church,
yeah,
things that I knew about the church and school systems and all of this. And then as you grow up, you realize, oh, these are things that still pervade basically every bureaucratic system. Something's going on, yeah, It's
be it a conspiracy theory or not, there is something very I don't know. I don't want to go down that. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because I'm not one to take to that. But I definitely think that there could be some truth to.
Yeah, we're getting into a rabbit hole.
Well, because you know, there's definitely some truth to this idea of like an inner circle. There's no like Illuminati. There's no this. There's no that. But you know, there's always something very appealing about the thought of there being something like that, if not for anything to expose it. That like. So it's like high society, Saulo, 120 days of Sodom kind of thing, where it's like
Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, yeah. There's something very appealing to it because it is that it is a very like arcane and like what's the word, like anachronistic understanding of a secret society. Granted, if it did exist, it's horrifying, and it'd be good to expose it. But no, I'm not gonna put a stake in that. Hey guys, welcome to David Foster Wallace and Gromit. This is our spooktacular, and it's scary as shit because we talk about pedophilia and racism, and that's what makes it so spooky. Anyway, let's talk about some Halloween traditions.
Racism. Did we talk about racism?
The Ty Cobb thing.
We just talked about pedophilia.
No, we talked about
the Ty Cobb
thing.
Well, that was anti-Semitism.
Air Bud History X. Put the Edgar Allan Poe story.
Everyone should read it. It's the Oval Portrait. It's like a page long, so... Yeah.
It's not very good.
If you haven't read any Poe, I recommend, you know, at least going in to, you know, us outside of school, where it's like, you know, oh, but it's so boring. Ugh, I hate school.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But, yeah, give it a good read.
Here's the thing. Why would I go to college when I can get my Nobel Peace Prize in metaphysics from just, like, reading? Like, I'll just, like, read a lot. For those listening at home, that's a throwback goof. Some might get it, some might not. It's a good goof though. Just taking the piss out of a good buddy. My problem with the Oval Portrait was, actually, really, it was a product of just the modern age of just contemporary society, because it was a story that we've heard a million times. It's kind of like how there's a degree of difficulty when you go back and read classics or you read any sort of like Shakespeare, something that's really like not groundbreaking, but an archetypal piece of media, where you read it and you go, that's whatever, because I've seen it a million times before. And it's not that it's any better or worse than the things you've seen a million times before, but it's just like it exists in a genre that has been created based on that archetypal media. In this case, right.
Although Shakespeare breaks that.
No, sure.
But Shakespeare breaks that sometimes.
But you know what
where
I mean?
Where it's people like, oh, okay, this is still groundbreaking.
No, anyway. It's still good. No, it's still good. This is not. Yeah, I have no complaint with the story. It's still good. It's still a good little like, ooh, a little chill, a little spook. But people will know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's you read it, and essentially the story is, man alone in his study, sees his painting. Is immediately taken aback by it. Something catches his eye. Something's unsettling. Something's not right about it. The way it looks at him. The way it's almost a vignetted human portrait. Finds a volume.
A beautiful woman.
Yeah, a beautiful woman. Of a young woman. Finds a volume that describes a little bit of the history on all the paintings in this room. In this library. And begins going down the list of it. And discovers that her lover, her husband, was so taken aback by his need to capture her beauty. And his dedication to doing so, that lo and behold, she died before his very eyes, with him not even realizing it, and he was just painting a dead woman. Which, you know, a little spooky, a little chill, but it's something that's like, I don't know, maybe I haven't seen it before in that exact way, but it's
right.
Something.
The only example that's almost incredibly parallel is Nathaniel Hawthorne's The Book. Birthmark.
Sure. I'm picturing that.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
very
of,
similar.
I'm thinking of that, or maybe like a Twilight Zone episode that I can't quite recall. You know, it's got that feel of like,
okay. You
wrap it up and you go like, oh, okay. You know, I'm not spooked.
Yeah.
But I got a little like,
yeah,
I get that. All right. You know, it's... But no, I think, so everyone should check it out. Everyone should check out a good little spook, a little scare. I know that today's Monday, tomorrow for Halloween... I know I'm going to be diving into some real spooks, some real goofs on the agenda. You know, I got pumpkin carving, big pumpkin carving action, okay? Going to have watching The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, 1912, I think, classic, black and white, one of the original horror films.
That's a spooktacular.
We got a hypnotist and his made slaves via hypnotism, very spooky. Going to be watching Vampire, the original Vampire story, I guess. predating Bela Lugosi as Dracula, predating, or I guess just it's a true recreation of Bram Stoker's story. So that'll be good. And, you know, maybe just throw in a couple episodes of the Arl Stein's classic Goosebumps. Maybe to read and to check out. You know, maybe that's what we should be doing for next week, is read a Goosebumps story and really riff. But, you know,
there we go.
But very quickly, we might get away from ourselves, and this might turn into a Goosebumps podcast.
And we got to be careful about that, because we all know how dangerous that can be.
Yeah. What do you guys doing?
So we'll be getting goofed for next episode, next week. We'll be reading, and I would say it's a bit more of a Day of the Dead style story rather than Halloween. But we're reading Pedro Páramo by Juan Rulfo. And so we recommend, if anybody is listening at all, that you read along, if you're listening to this in any way.
If anyone hears this. No, but also,
if anyone hears this, please read along with us. I don't know why you would, but do it, because it's interesting. It's a good story. It's groundbreaking in terms of, if no one was able to catch it yesterday, and if nothing cuts out today, it's kind of a milestone work in terms of American Gothic as a both North Central and South American.
Latin American Gothic.
Gothic, magic realism, etc. It's all within this movement, right, of these kinds of stories. And it fits really well into...
Yeah.
Kind of this Halloween Day of the Dead themed, because
it's
a Mexican story, and it's been very influential throughout the years, and very well regarded in its circles. So take a look at that. I would recommend it. So far I enjoy it very much. And so next week we'll try and go into that. Should be fun. I was just saying, in general, this format that we're doing, the recording something and putting it out there, is just, you know, keep us in check, to provide structure for reading projects and goofing off, hanging out, and then also to maybe, you know, provide some influence and structure for anyone who happens to listen to this and either does read a lot and wants to read more or should be reading, or has a similar reading list or whatever, and just kind of share a laugh here and there.
No, I think that we should, I guess that's a perfect grounds to close, really. No, yeah, I think the point of this podcast from the jump was, you're right, structure. And also, even though there was a little goof on kind of like a podcast is the most vain or the most narcissistic thing you can do, I think that we have good banter, have always had good banter.
Like I said, share a laugh.
Yeah, share a laugh. I think that's the point. Just come by for a goof, come by for a spoof. I think podcasts do a really good job. I know, at least in what I've listened to and what I'm familiar with, podcasts do a really good job of fostering some degree of intimacy with the hosts, especially if this video format continues to pan out. That pseudo intimacy, or that intimacy by proxy, is a really interesting thing, a really fascinating thing, and we hope that people can begin to feel that with us and sort of understand where we're coming from, what we want to accomplish with it, which is, you're right. I mean, a little bit of shared understanding, you know, maybe showcasing a couple books that are a little more fringe, that people might not have access to or might not have been able to think to have access to. Just to goof around. To keep in touch, to have a real spoof, a real goof, and then and then maybe come summertime, we'll do a live touring episode. We'll take this on the road, and I don't know what that would even look like. But
we'll do it live. Buy tickets. Get pre-order tickets.
Yeah.
But I do have a list. Maybe we should we mention this? No, I don't know. If someone, I don't know how to operate in terms of in these terms, as like, do, because I have a list of novellas that I've kind of compiled as like, these might be good ideas. This is as in a general classics realm. And then we can also move into, like, more modern. So this is obviously a little more, like, also because of our locations, it's a little more, like, American, European, and maybe some Latin America as well. That's the main origin of the source of this list, kind of your typical novellas that seem interesting.
Should I list these? No. Because the only book that so the thing is, we're reading these books independent of the podcast and then discussing them on the podcast. The only book that we want our viewers reading along with us on is Infinite Jest. We want to make sure our readers are reading their chapters each night. They're keeping up so that when each episode airs, which, you know, and we really hope coming episode 3, we'll get a chance to start talking about Infinite Jest, David Foster Wallace's seminal classic. For now, though, a brief apology if last episode fucked up. Hopefully this episode won't fuck up. We know that we have at least some usable footage here, so something's going up. And just everyone bear with us while we figure out the software. So yeah, coming up, we got Halloween. We're gonna put this up.
The list is more of a you and me kind of thing, and we'll read books as we go. If you have any questions about the book club or whatever, or about the podcast in general, I don't remember the email, but someone can email you or whatever.
It's just the name, yeah. If you have any questions, life advice about the or any questions about the books. Or any questions about what we're doing or who we are, we will answer any question to the best of our ability. I said to the best of our ability. Yeah, if you ask, like, what's my address, you're not getting it. If you ask, like, what do you like, what's your favorite color, you're not getting it. If you ask me, though, are you feeling fucking hogged up on this Monday afternoon, you're getting one answer, and that's goddamn it, yes I am. Okay? So, yeah, shoot us an email.
That being said, life advice is welcome. Personal questions, not welcome. If you want to ask us life advice, ask away.
Yeah. Any questions that you have, shoot them our way. There you go. And the email again is just davidfosterwallaceandgromit@gmail.com. I think that about wraps it up for this episode. We're going to let that jingle roll, and we'll see you guys next week, I guess, this time next week.
How should we end it? Like, what do we say?
Yeah, we had this problem last time, too.
Bye.
Bye?
See ya. Good riddance.
We'll just give them, like, a little...